Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis leaders are teaming up with Missouri's federal delegation to try to obtain much-needed money for tornado relief efforts.
We've really got a lot of work to do on the rebuild effort to rebuild our communities, including some of our commercial corridors.
STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum explains why obtaining community development block grant disaster relief funds won't be easy. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. For the first time in nearly a decade, a James Beard Award is coming home to St. Louis. Lauren Knowledge won Best Chef Midwest at the Culinary Foundation ceremony last night. She is the chef and owner at Balkan Treat Box and Telva at the Ridge in Webster Groves. Knowledge was named the winner her fifth time making the list in that category.
The fact that I get to be standing here right now is unreal. My family, my team, St. Louis, Bosnia, like all of it. It's just like, it feels insane. It feels so good.
Knowledge also thanked St. Louis during her acceptance speech last night. She also said, "Volim te Bosno," which means I love you, Bosnia. Many Bosnians came to the area as refugees in the 1990s and early 2000s, including her husband's family.
Today I was thinking back to when I met Ando, and this family was separated by war. And this restaurant brought them back together again.
Knowledge recommends diners at Balkan Treat Box try the chivapi, which is kebabs made from ground seasoned meat, and visitors to Telva try the chilbear, a poached egg dish. But honestly, you can't go wrong on those menus. The James Beard semifinalists list regularly shines a light on restaurants, chefs, and hospitality pros around St. Louis. But before last night, a local winner hadn't been named since 2017. That's when Kevin Nashen of Sydney Street Cafe won Best Chef Midwest, the same award restaurateur Gerard Kraft won in 2015. Congratulations to Lauren, her family, and her whole team. A Cole County judge has ruled that the minimum funding requirements for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department don't violate the state constitution. Circuit Judge Daniel Green issued his decision in a case brought by two St. Louis activists. He wrote that even though the state budget does not include any more money for the department, police are exempted from a rule prohibiting the state from requiring new or expanded services without additional funding. Judge Green did reject a portion of the law granting lifetime health care benefits for officers who were hired while the department was under control of the city. The decision will be appealed. The 30-foot-wide cave-in that opened below Interstate 44 in downtown St. Louis highlights the continued need to fund public works and infrastructure. That's according to the director of Missouri's statewide program that's focused on improving roads and bridges. STLPR's Will Bauer reports.
The cave-in formed after a water main broke late last week. Thanks to its proximity to the I-44 bridge above, Missouri's Department of Transportation shut down that stretch of interstate for at least a week. Missouri University of Science and Technology professor Heath Pickrell directs Missouri's local technical assistance program.
Oftentimes people only think about it when they're driving down a road and they hit a pothole or they're on a rough road. Again, this highlights that those problems with infrastructure go well beyond just the surfaces that we drive on.
The cave-in comes in the middle of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen's debate over how to spend RAM settlement money, including $75 million for water infrastructure. And the board is also considering potentially raising water rates. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Pickrell also says that severe weather later this week could complicate efforts to reopen the interstate. The National Weather Service forecasts the potential for severe thunderstorms late Wednesday afternoon. And a quick note on the words we're using in reporting this story. While you're hearing most people referring to craters like these as sinkholes, many of these are technically cave-ins. So what's the difference? Sinkholes are natural occurrences from rainwater or underwater streams, while cave-ins refer to collapses due to failures of pipes and other man-made structures. The National Transportation Safety Board says investigators plan to be at the scene today of a plane crash in Butler, Missouri that killed a dozen people Sunday. The single-engine turboprop plane carried 11 skydivers and a pilot. The federal agency has singled out the skydiving industry in two previous reports, suggesting it needs more regulation. Vice Chair Michael Graham wouldn't speculate about the Butler crash during a call with reporters, but also didn't dodge the larger question.
It's always frustrating when we see things that maybe the FAA hasn't acted on with some of our recommendations, and then we continue to see accidents.
The FAA refers to the Federal Aviation Administration. The plane was operated by Skydive Kansas City. In a statement, the company called the crash a devastating loss and said it's working with local and federal investigators. The safety board expects a preliminary report in 30 days. The state has chosen a new leader for the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. That organization oversees more than 500 public school districts and charter school systems in the state. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports the State Board of Education appointed Stacy Priest as interim commissioner.
Priest most recently served as the deputy commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. She also led the Joint Committee on Education in the Missouri General Assembly. Priest's appointment comes during turnover in Missouri's education leadership. She takes the top role after former Commissioner Carla Esslinger retired on June 1st after 2 years of service. State Board President Mary Schrag also announced her resignation earlier this month. The state school board said in a statement it plans to lead a national search for the permanent education commissioner. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
After years of planning and preparation, Missouri's moment on the World Cup stage is underway. Kansas City will host its first match of the 2026 FIFA World Cup as defending champion Argentina takes on Algeria at Arrowhead Stadium tonight at 8 o'clock. The game is the first of 6 World Cup matches scheduled in Kansas City during the month-long tournament. Hundreds of fans are expected to make the trip from St. Louis to Kansas City for tonight's game. As of Monday afternoon, the cheapest ticket still available to get into the stadium tonight was $853. Early data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggests 2026 could be a nasty year for tick bites in Missouri and Illinois. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the season is on track to be one of the worst for tick-related emergency room visits in a decade.
136 people in the Midwest went to the ER for tick bites this April. That's nearly double the number reported during April 2025. Ticks can transmit bacteria, viruses, and parasites to humans, which can cause high-profile illnesses such as Lyme disease and alpha-gal syndrome. University of Missouri urban entomology professor Emily Althoff says in Missouri, there's no such thing as an off-season for ticks.
Because we've been seeing milder winters, ticks might not enter dormancy. That's going to lead to them emerging a little bit earlier in the year.
Experts say to wear long pants and socks and check themselves and pets for ticks after coming inside. Permethrin and other insecticides can also be useful for avid outdoors people. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis leaders are teaming up with Missouri's federal delegation to try to get much-needed money for tornado recovery efforts. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains, the task of getting Community Development Block Grant disaster relief funds to the city won't be easy or quick.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer said last week that she's seeking $1 billion to $1.5 billion worth of Community Development Block Grant disaster relief funds. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development program helps communities deal with some of the longer-term effects of natural disasters. Spencer says those funds could go a long way in efforts to rebuild all kinds of housing in an area of the city that last year's tornado devastated.
We've really got a lot of work to do on the rebuild effort to rebuild our communities, including some of our commercial corridors. So the Community Development Block Grant funding plan will come alongside of those funds, and we're going to be working with our federal delegation to ensure that we get as many of those dollars as possible.
Sarah Labowitz saw firsthand how beneficial Community Development Block Grant disaster relief dollars can be. The senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace used to work at the Houston Housing and Community Development Agency. And Labowitz said the disaster relief funds helped build thousands of rental units after Hurricane Harvey in 2017.
One of the good things about that pot of money is that it's designated usually for people who have low and moderate incomes. And it can provide more help to people who need more help to recover, whose insurance didn't cover their recovery or who didn't have the private resources to recover.
But Labowitz says Community Development Block Grant disaster relief funds are only available when Congress passes a separate funding bill to help places affected by disasters. As Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley noted earlier this month, that type of bill has not passed since December 2024.
I have already indicated both to our leadership here and to the administration, I think that we should do this for St. Louis. We haven't passed any disaster relief since the St. Louis storms a year ago for anybody in the country. We have not done any disaster relief at all. I think that's a mistake.
Labowitz saw the St. Louis damage firsthand earlier this year, and she says the fact Congress hasn't acted yet to help St. Louis and other cities affected by disasters is unusual.
You all in St. Louis are in the same boat with the folks in LA who had a wildfire, the folks here in Texas who had that bad flooding last summer. So you're not alone. And there are a lot of jurisdictions that would benefit from a CDBG-DR appropriation.
Congressman Wesley Bell of St. Louis County says it's up to Republicans who control Congress and President Donald Trump to move the funds through the legislative process. And Bell says people who are still struggling a year after the tornado could benefit from a more robust federal response.
We're going to keep pushing for the funds for St. Louis, but also to completely overhaul this system because the way that it works does not work for the folks who need it most.
Lawmakers from both parties have expressed support for making the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Relief Program permanent, meaning it would not have to depend on a separate funding bill from Congress to function. But that idea has also run into opposition, meaning, at least for now, it will take congressional action to bring much-needed money to St. Louis. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. The music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.